Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
That is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again! Say what again! I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not?
Welcome to the Lights, Camera, Podcast, episode 45. Jeff Lowe, Trill Ballins, Ken Jack. Got a good one for you this week. Got a normal movie review, I Feel Pretty, with Amy Schumer. We saw it weeks ago, and we're going to build the ultimate actor. It's a draft. We're drafting body parts. That sounds perfect. I'm sure that'll go over well. But basically building like a Frankenstein's monster actor. And it's going to be interesting. Could be funny. Could be weird. We don't know. We're trying some of that. This was a listener suggestion on Reddit, and I liked it. And so we're queuing it up. Papa Trill, what's going on? And same to you, Ken Jack.
Hey, man, I'm just excited about this Frankenstein segment because this is the first time I'm going to dig deep into my love of French cinema on Lights, Camera, Podcast. So super looking forward to this. Ken Jack, what are you up to, man? I like you less since you shaved.
Again, I still think it's the haircut more than the shave. It's just, it's very, I got a haircut in Philly and they gave me New York prices for like a Cleveland haircut. And I'm not a fan of what they did whatsoever. So, Trill, question, as a dad, do you consider Dr. Frankenstein a dad, even though he didn't have to go through the vigorous birthing process to make Frankenstein's monster?
Well, I mean, I didn't have to go through the vigorous birthing process either to be a dad. So, do
yeah,
you
but
consider
I still
me
respect
a dad?
Your service. I still respect your service.
Yeah, man, I think if you saw the pain in Dr. Frankenstein's eyes when they took down Frankenstein, yeah, I think he was a dad. And Father's Day is coming up on Sunday. So, I mean, both of them are Father's Day to me. I think fathers should be honored twice. I'm just kidding. It's Mother's Day, guys. I know that. Don't post on the Reddit.
Little Ken Jack beard.
Use coupon code flowers. 1-800 flowers. No, wait. I can't say the name of that. Just flowers.
Nope. Yep, just flowers. Ken Jack's beard. Jimmy D'Onofrio, our good buddy, who made our logo and some of our shirts. Little hint here. He might be making us a new logo. And I had to send over a picture of Ken Jack, and I said, please add the facial hair back. So that's just how we identify with him.
I sent you a photo of me with a beard.
No, you just like an extra stash.
He looks like an extra in suits or something.
What the fuck? They're clean shaven in suits. That's the whole point.
So you're like an extra on the street, like to show a contrast between the attractive suits and the schlubby New York City office drones walking down the street.
Stunt double Ken Jack.
Look, Ken Jack, you're more attractive than I am, so like at least you got that on me. But I mean, I feel like it can rip on you because we know that. Like I'm a five, you're at least a seven, so
no, I'm in sixth range at best. If I was in human shape, maybe
personality
six,
eight. Personality eight though, and that's the main takeaway of I Feel Pretty, is that being attractive is important.
I like how we're doing a movie that is about empowerment for like being okay with yourself inwards and outwards. And then we're going to just draft body parts and attractiveness later on in the episode.
This is, look, I'm not afraid to say that after coming away from I Feel Pretty, I do not feel better about my physical appearance. Remember on the Reddit, I talked about how I was fat like five podcasts in a row, and somebody like on one of the episode discussions thread, they were like, does Trill have body issue problems, body image problems or something like that? And I'm like, yes, we all do for the most part. It's okay.
Body dysmorphia.
Not that bad, but you know, I will say I have lost weight since they took the gallbladder out. I think that was a good 1/10 of a pound, and I just haven't had the same appetite. So it was a good move. If you want to lose weight, I don't recommend that route. It's expensive, but it's worked for me.
You gain any sympathy weight?
I gained a lot of sympathy weight, but that was over the course of a full 9-month pregnancy. It's hard not to, man. It's hard not to, just because the food's there. You ever been in a situation where they've opened up a new restaurant near you and you go to that restaurant at least 3 times a week, or like order carry out from that restaurant 3 times a week?
Yeah, like, I did go to Austin, though, and I did go to the same places like 3 different times. I mean, I know that, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we got to move on. Let's get this movie podcast back on track. Avengers Infinity War, little box office update. Not much to talk about here, but we were monitoring this because we did do a little game where everyone submits what they think Avengers Infinity War will make. If you had $1,220,000,000 or below, you're out. You're out because it is now at $1,226,964,000. That is the current total for Avengers Infinity War. Last weekend, it was still number one at the box office, made a ton of money. It was the most money ever made in the second weekend for a movie, which is just fucking crazy. And it also is the highest pre-sale ever in China, which has fueled a little bit of speculation that, hey, this movie might be able to eclipse Titanic and challenge Avatar. And it seems as though it's going to cross 2 billion. The most pre-sale money ever made in China was a movie called Monster Hunt 2. And then before that was one of the Fast and the Furious movies. I forget which one it was. I want to say Fate of the Furious. Yeah, Fate of the Furious. That one made $25 million. Avengers Infinity Wars made $47.5 million. So crazy numbers here. Infinity Wars already the 14th highest grossing movie of all time worldwide. And fast climbing. Crazy.
It's nuts. What I think mine was like a little under $2 billion. I think it'll end up crossing $2 billion. I have faith in it. I don't think that's an absurd projection. It also goes to show you how much money Avatar somehow made. Like $2.7 billion is ridiculous. Yeah. I cannot believe that. Like, just can Bill Gates just spend another $700 million to put Jim Cameron in his place?
The big thing was is that it was the runway. There was no movies after that. It was all garbage. If Infinity War were to come out in December, I think it would have beat Avatar.
I also think it was like that perfect time where people thought 3D movies were like going to be good again. And so they're like, I got to go check out one of these new 3D movies. And because they don't have like the red and blue eye 3D glasses, they got special glasses that look like cool hipster glasses. And then now 3D movies, they're still in theaters because they cost $18 a ticket. But that's why I saw Avengers Infinity War in, and I regret it because it's not as good, guys.
You saw Infinity War in 3D?
I did, because the theater was completely empty. I was able to get my seats and able to get like personal space room around me so that I didn't have to deal with any of the hypothetical situations of stinkiness that we dealt with on the last episode. But you're right. It wasn't the primo experience that I think I deserved as a king. I need to treat myself better next time. And
Ken, Jack, and I are going to see an IMAX. Everyone's been telling us to see an IMAX, and it was shot completely in IMAX, which is incredibly intriguing for that $26 price point, which is ridiculous. But I do agree, Troll. It was the tech. The tech helped Avatar. And, of course, it being in January. Deadpool is going to hurt this movie, and so is Solo. So I'm not sure it'll get up there. Troll, you did guess $1,980,000,000. Ken, Jack, you said $2,100,000,000. I said $2,205,000,000.
Yeah, so you could very well end up winning this, Jeff, because there's not much space other than $100 million in between yourself and Kinjak, right? Like, what is $100 million to this movie?
Not much.
It could do it, but it's not gonna unfortunately unseat Avatar, which is my great disappointment. As you know, I'm pro James Cameron. I'm gonna call him Jim Cameron because we're on first name basis. Friend to friend terms. I love his movies, but he needs to stop talking about Avatar 2 and just do it. You know, just get after it.
Next piece of news, Jordan Peele, he will be back. He had been thrown a ton of tentpole or big budget ideas, turned them all down, and wanted to do another kind of indie feel movie. It's a movie called Us. And apparently the people in the movie will be Lupita Nyong'o and Winston Duke, very Black Panther-esque, and Elizabeth
Moss, who you know from Handmaid's Tale and The West Wing. I think the tagline for, what do they say? Oh, a new nightmare from the mind of Academy Award winner Jordan Peele. Now this, come on, we all have to be excited about this one. I am very pumped to see what he pulls out with this next one. And I love that he's going for a smaller movie here and just using his vision and not someone else's. I'm very glad he's not attached to, I don't know, Harley Quinn, the next chapter or some shit from DC.
Although that he probably would find a way to make that good.
That's true.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, it's super buttering for this one. Not much more to add there. I think this is another 2019 movie, but I think it's March 2019. So we're less than a year away.
Yeah.
Poster didn't reveal too much about the movie, but it was just enough. The art in it kind of hinted at like the tension that he is going to bring. And then you got the studio print up top saying from the mind of Jordan Peele, like you said, Jeff, comes a new nightmare. So how can you not get excited about that? The marketing's got me already. I'm ready to fucking buy this ticket and splash butter all over that popcorn right in the AMC lobby.
Mega buttering too. And that poster kind of looks like, did you ever see the, was it Gnarls Barkley crazy video? It kind of looks like that, like the weird Rorschach drawing thing.
Yeah. It looks like a Rorschach test, which is like named after the character from Watchmen.
Yeah. Yeah. The lovely character from Watchmen. One of my favorite movies. Yeah, no, mega buttering. And I'm super glad actually that he's staying sort of indie instead of going to the big budget, because he's shown he can take like a fucking $20 and like free oil change coupon to Jiffy Lube ticket and make like a fucking Oscar winning movie out of it. So, I mean, good for him, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is going to be really hype. So that's the other thing too. You know, can he handle the hype? If he survives this hype, makes another good one, then we have something cooking here, folks. Jordan Peele will be considered probably one of the best directors or writers in Hollywood. Last but not least, another comedian making a horror movie, John Krasinski, along with Emily Blunt as well. A Quiet Place 2, apparently, they teased, could follow other people. So in the same universe as the same things happening, like he threw out the idea of the old man, spoiler alert, the old man who screamed in A Quiet Place, you could be following somebody like that or another person. Does that interest you? Like that same thing? Or do you want like A Quiet Place with another, I don't know, plot line maybe? I'm not sure I want to see another person just being quiet.
If we got A Quiet Place 2, I'd want to see it in like a big city scenario, completely different from the farmland, like, or maybe immediately like what happened in the outbreak of it. Although that might be like a cliche monster movie, but I don't want to see the old man, because it just give some distance between the story that's already been told. Make it kind of like an anthology. I wouldn't mind if Krasinski and Blunt played new characters as well, and we just use our suspension of disbelief to say they were different people in a different place. Like, how did it go down in London?
Well, I don't know the whole novelty of the movie is like you have to be super quiet, and like what they made, like their whole plot driver was the pregnancy thing. Both of those things are gone. Like, what more is there to add on to this universe? Like, do they show the whole origin story of it? And then once you get to delve into origin stories, that's like a fucking shot in the dark, and like maybe 25% of those end up going well. So like, I don't know. I don't want another one. The novelty of the first one's worn off, so I don't really want a second at all.
Yeah, you're right with that. I think in our review we said we liked that it wasn't an origin story, or at least I liked that it wasn't an origin story, and it didn't just pick up smack dab in the middle of this crisis and basically make it a Cloverfield movie, which I did not want. So you're right there. And it is kind of like, you made a good movie. You made a good self-contained movie. Why stop there? But the almighty dollar beckons. If he thinks he has a creative direction for it, then I say go ahead. I think it might still be good. I don't think it's going to be as good in his novel as The Quiet Place, but it still might be worth watching. I mean, we could always take another decent horror movie, right? Right, Ken Jack? You love those movies.
Fucking love it, man. Best part of this pod.
Big time horror movie guy. So that is news. I was going to read some funny headlines.
We're not done. Uh-oh. We are not done, because yesterday or the day before, we found out Bill and Ted 3 is officially happening.
Oh, yeah.
How do you guys feel about this? I don't care.
I don't care either. I really don't.
No.
I mean, I'll go see it. I'm going to go see it. I don't care, though. I just don't.
Why not just make a documentary about Keanu Reeves and his life? I would pay a lot of money to follow Keanu Reeves around for like a 3-month period and just see what he does day to day. Because I bet it is fascinating. I bet he lives in like a 1,400 square foot apartment in Nebraska or something like that. And just
he lives like a bungalow.
Rides his motorcycle to Los Angeles every day.
I would pay an unhealthy amount of money to see that.
It just helps people here and there. Just like 3 months, he pulls like 18 cats out of a fiery tree or something like that. That's what I want. That's the next Keanu project. Now, of course, they can't just title it Keanu because that was already taken from us.
Better not get distracted from John Wick. None of this crap better distract him from perfecting another John Wick movie. That's what I care about. There was a set photo released of John Wick Chapter 3, and some of the colors in it looked awesome.
It was like Chinatown or something right in New York, right?
Yeah. That I'm fucking excited for. More of that. More John Wick.
I'll still like Bill and Ted 3, though. I liked the first two. The bogus journey wasn't as good as the excellent adventure, but more Keanu is fine. I'm happy with that. I just like people were very excited about it, and I was just kind of like, yeah, you know, they're good movies for their time, but maybe not everything needs to be rebooted. But still, we'll see it. And even if we weren't a part of this podcast, I would still probably see it. I'm just kind of on the fence. It could go either way.
Well, speaking of reboots, by the way, apparently they're going to be rebooting Friday Night Lights, the TV show. And the director of Pineapple Express is set to direct the movie, David Gordon Green. No relation to the Green Ranger. What was his name? Jason David Frank?
Yeah.
Three first name, motherfucker.
No relation to Lisa Frank, the folder lady who created all the cool folders.
I don't like. I do not like that.
I got a confession. Yeah. I never watched that show.
Friday Night Lights?
Me neither. I thought that was going to get a bigger reaction out of you guys.
No, my high school, I watched it. I made a very small cameo. Fun fact, my mom was cast as an extra, never did it. She was going to be a teacher, never went to. It was all filmed in Austin. They made it look like West Texas, but it was filmed in the rolling hills of Austin, Texas. It was based off Pflugerville High. That's about as far as I'll go into that without getting too inside baseball. However, I did not watch after the first season, but people swear by that show. People love that fucking show. That's part of the NBC lineup, that NBC lineup of Netflix shows that people binge watch. But this sucks because Friday Night Lights, the movie, is fantastic. We don't need another one. Like, go away. Just let it go.
Who would be the head coach character? Who would you recast as the Billy Bob Thornton character? Billy Bob Thornton? Just fuck it.
Well, no, it would be Kyle Chandler.
It would be Kyle Chandler, right?
Chandler character. Yeah,
it's going to be a TV show. Oh, yeah. See, I'm all twisted around now.
Leto, the coach.
Ooh. Can you imagine him doing his method acting as a high school football coach? It'd be like me reading accounts. It's like Jared Leto walked into the green room and he blew his whistle and made us do 50 pull-ups and made us carry football all day. And he tried to smack the football out of our hand. And if we didn't, he called us assholes and dumped water on us.
Jared Leto arrested falling around high school students. He said he was quote unquote preparing for role.
Oh no. Okay, that's news. Anything else? Anything else you want to throw in here?
I don't know. I kind of want to cut that Quentin Tarantino segment.
Again? No more Star Trek Tarantino. You know, do it. Just fucking cut it.
Yeah, I don't.
So they think that. So right now we're talking about a thing that didn't technically happen in this podcast.
Yes.
Well, we cut this part too.
No, we're not cutting this part.
No, don't cut this part, but cut the Tarantino part.
No, this is like how the sausage is made. Like this is, they're going to see this right now, but we'll give them a little treat. We fucked up. We forgot to talk about the post-credit scene last episode and explain what the fuck is happening with us. What's going on? People are like, who was that? You know, do you guys live together? Because the post-credit scene would imply you guys live in the same house. So we're going to answer some questions here. We got another little thing to do. Hit play. Oh, I know you got to tell intern Kevin to hit play. I can't do that.
Intern Kevin, hit play, please. Thank you, Kevin.
All right. I think the runtime's like a minute. Anybody want to go to the bathroom?
No, I took a big steamy dump right before the pod.
I'm kidding.
Finish these apples.
Imagine if me and Trill lived in bunk beds.
It's a real Bert and Ernie type situation. The Lights, Camera, Podcast boys. Oh, you can have the top bunk bed.
Kenjack, didn't you see a graffiti of Bert flashing somebody today? Or was that
Bert's nipple or something? No, that was Bakun retweeted that. It was really funny.
All right, it's almost over. 5, 4.
I want on that top bunk so I could, whenever I pee my pants coming home drunk, to leaks on Trill's face. Sorry, go on.
All right, we're back. We're back to Lights, Camera, Podcast. Hope you enjoyed that. We'll start a Reddit thread. Let us know what you think. More to come very soon, I promise. However, Amy Schumer is back, and I Feel Pretty. It's a movie about I'd say mid-30s woman in New York who is not feeling too great about her body, goes to SoulCycle, falls off the bike, and now thinks she looks better than she thinks she looks.
The most beautiful in the world. Beautiful woman in the world.
Yeah.
She works at a makeup company run by Michelle Williams. Not her, but her character. She works in social or for their website, and then she asks to be a receptionist, then works her way up the ranks, gets a boyfriend, is very influential, and then smashes her head against the shower door while the head of the company, Michelle Williams' brother, is like hitting on her. We've got to get into that one because there's a lot of plot lines in this movie they just don't resolve. And then when she wakes up, she thinks she's ugly again, and then it's all resolved. She realizes that she's looked the same the whole time, and it's just confidence. I Feel Pretty. I gave this movie the very rare for me 0 and 5 rating. I gave it a 45. I don't think it's awful. I really don't think it's awful. I think it has some qualities that are nice. Like there are some nice qualities to it, but as a comedy, and maybe I lower it, who knows? I always say that as a comedy, it's just plain and simple, not funny. Like it's just not funny. And another reviewer I like on YouTube, Jeremy Johns, check him out. Another guy that can help you figure out if you see a movie or not. He said, while I was watching this movie, it like dawned on me that this wasn't funny. Like that's exactly how I felt too. Like you just go, wait a second, this isn't funny at all. Which before I let you guys give your rating, I will say this. I don't love criticizing movies. Like I don't like doing it because I know how much time and effort goes into these things. Like, I get it. It's hard to make a movie. I could never do this shit ever. I could never make a movie like this big budget, and be creative enough to write a screenplay, a script. But I'm okay with being critical of this one because I know Amy Schumer is capable of better, because Trainwreck was fantastic. I love Trainwreck. Kenjack apparently didn't. I thought Trainwreck was great. It's a classic Judd Apatow movie. She wrote the movie. She was great in the movie. Bill Hader was great in it, had a good message, and it was funny. It was funny throughout, but it was also endearing, which this one wanted to be. But this one was a stinker. This was not funny, plain and simple. It's also controversial, too. There's some controversy about it, about what it's saying. It's like Shallow Hal, but different. It's like Shallow Hal, but not problematic for like 2018, because they talk more about like how you see yourself from the inside rather seeing other people. That's my little rant. I'm okay with kind of going against this movie because I know she's capable of better. I would like to hear your thoughts on Trainwreck, Kenjack. I don't like Trainwreck because LeBron's in it, but it is. I thought that was a great movie. It was nominated for a Golden Globe. I think it was almost nominated for Academy Award, just missed out. So I don't know. 45, not funny. We'll get into it. No spoilers here either. Trill, what's your rating for I Feel Pretty?
I'm going to go down into 30s. I'm going to do a 35, Jeb. I agree with you. It's not a funny movie. I can't remember a single joke that happened in the movie. I can't really. If you told me I had to tell you a joke that happened in this movie, I don't know if I could do it. There are two good parts of it. Rory Scovel was really funny, I thought, in this one. I mean, he had a good presence. I don't know if he got great writing. And I like Michelle Williams' character as well. I thought that she did a funny take on that Avery LeClaire type character, and she had a good screen presence. But I only say good screen presence because I don't know if they had good jokes. I can't tell you. I saw the movie and I cannot tell you. So 35. I like Trainwreck as well, Jeff. I thought it was very funny. I thought it was well written. It had a lot more humor in it. I had a lot more memorable moments. Most of that due to LeBron, but a lot of it due to Amy Schumer also did well in that, and Bill Hader did as well. But this one just felt like a mess. Wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen, but could have been a lot better, I thought, with just maybe a little punch up of the script. That's what use in the biz.
Yeah, there you go. Colin Quinn, Mike Birbiglia, Brie Larson. It was, I thought, a very well put together movie, trainer. But this one, man, it's tough. Kendrick, I'll let you give your score, but let me just run down the list here. Michelle Williams, Emily Ratajkowski was in this movie. Probably her best role yet, I will say. She was the least robotic she's been in movies, which I'm not saying much, but she was in We Are Your Friends with Zac Efron, and that movie was just a disaster. Rory Scovel's in it. Kendrick, I know you have comments on him because you're a fan of him. You just didn't like what it was in the movie. Adi Bryant, Busy Phillips, Naomi Campbell. Who else is in it? David Tell's in it, who did have one of the two funniest jokes in the movie, because Amy Schumer was talking to David Tell about coming up on stage or something in Atlantic City or wherever they were. And he said, all right, I don't need a podcast. And he was like really explaining it to him. Yeah. And that was it's a pretty funny joke for us because we're podcast guys. So that was one of the two I laughed at. Oh, and the funniest in the movie, though, was Adrian Martinez, who you may recognize as the Rogers discount double check guy, the Packers fan from the Allstate commercials, or State Farm. What is it? Allstate or State Farm?
State Farm.
No, who cares?
State Farm.
I care. He was, the brand is very important. Allstate's Mayhem.
He was the IT guy. Oh, yeah. Mayhem, the guy from 30 Rock. What's his name? So he was the IT guy, and he did make a joke where he called a baguette like a bagetti or something. And Kendrick and I did audibly laugh out loud. So that's about it. Kendrick, what's your score?
I gave it a 31. It's just not funny. I laughed less during this movie than I laughed during fucking Infinity War. And what I'll say about Trainwreck, and that I'm not scoffing in that I think it's bad. It was a funny movie. I think that was more, though, training wheels, because they had Apatow directing and being able to have like sort of like the editing power to direct it correctly, whatever her script might have been and not been based off like the original edit. And this was just her, more or less, I think, in her more like her solo or coming out movie where it's just her doing it by herself. And you could really tell because, first of all, she's just not funny in it. Like and it's not that she's not like funny personality wise. She didn't write herself any jokes. Like her character just wasn't funny at all. And all of comedy really came from probably fucking discount double check guy and end of list. No one else in the movie was funny. I think that they wasted Rory Scovel in it, because if you've ever seen his Netflix special, comedy special on. It's so fucking funny. And part of what makes him so funny is his really bombastic presence. And he's really like over exaggerating. He's really like, there's a lot of like hyperbole. And he's like this like effeminate weirdo from, he's almost like the character in I Love You Man, like Paul Rudd's character. And like they did that character like shot for shot, which is very frustrating because they played to his exact weakness and diverted away from his strengths. And it was such a fucking waste, in my opinion. And Michelle Williams' character to me was so annoying. It was like 80s ass humor.
That was part of her character.
I know. I understand that. I understand that. But you build her character around a funny voice. That's so fucking 80s and stupid and not 2010s comedy at all. That is not this era of comedy. That's fucking like so dumb, in my opinion. And
I can't. I really can't go against you on that.
I'm not done here. There is a lot more.
Hold on. I'm agreeing with you. That's a good point. I don't totally like. Yeah. You may have changed my opinion just there. That is a good point. It's cheap comedy.
It's cheap, it's like the only comedy in the movie. So I took what I could
get. That's not comedy, though.
Let him go.
When you're sitting there, it is comedy because you're just looking for something, Kenjack, just something to nibble on. And they threw out the smallest Cheez-It, and I took it.
It's not funny. It's the lowest hanging fruit, and it's some of the lower hanging fruit in comedy you can do. And for somebody who's supposed to be like as like highbrow humor, not like fucking super sophisticated humor, but someone that's supposed to get this age of humor like Amy Schumer, it's just so blah. And I think the whole B plots they had, which we mentioned before, with the LeClaire family like fighting with each other, and like Amy Schumer sort of getting hit on by my boy Billy Bones from Black Sails, who another person horrific. American accent. He had one of the worst American accent I think I've ever heard in my life. And he had like five lines, none of which were really like coherent. It didn't make any fucking sense. It had no direction. And like the whole point of the movie, I get that it's supposed to be like female empowerment, but it didn't resolve it that way. It resolved it in that the only way you could possibly feel good about yourself if you think you're ugly is if you have fucking brain damage, which is so stupid. And the only difference to me between this and Shallow Hal is that she did, when she looked herself in the mirror, they didn't show you what she thought she looked like. That's the only big difference between that and Shallow Hal. And you could see through his eyes, you saw what he saw, which is Gwyneth Paltrow. And like, that's, I think, the big thing where they're like, we don't want to do that because then they'll just say we're Shallow Hal. But it still just is Shallow Hal. And it's just empty. It's just an empty story, and it's not funny, and don't see it.
I agree with you in that it is empty. I do want to say one thing. I don't think Amy Schumer has a writing credit on this movie. I don't think she wrote this movie. I think it's listed on Wikipedia as Abby Cohn and Mark Silverstein.
You're right. She didn't. I thought she did. She produced it. She helped produce it.
Yeah. So I don't know how much that goes into it. I mean, because you think if you're a comedic actress or actor, you would be able to put your input into like how you portray the role or have suggestions, whatever, that's fine. But I saw where the writers also wrote How to Be Single, and that was the movie with Dakota Johnson and Rebel Wilson. And that felt very similar to me in that it was kind of just this like soulless, not funny comedy. And I don't want to hate on it too much because, look, like Jeff said, it's a movie and takes a lot of production. I know some people liked it, but Trainwreck did have Amy Schumer as a writer. So devil's advocate for, you know, Ken Jack thinking that Amy Schumer is funny.
Judd Apatow is a director.
Which makes and that's true. And so maybe if you have the right, you know, right people on it, like I just feel like Trainwreck, and I don't think you'll argue against it, had more going for it, whereas this was hollow, like you were saying. And the message it had also felt empty as well, because, you know, it's based on beauty. And I know they're trying to make a statement. Maybe it resonates with some people, but the only way you can truly get self-confidence isn't through thinking you're beautiful at one point. I mean, that's not what they're saying in the movie, but it's kind of how you feel when you watch it, right?
Yeah. So, okay. That's completely my fault. I thought she was a writer in the movie. Regardless, I still think this is just a disservice to her, and I just wish she wouldn't have done it. Like, I feel like there's something more. I hope she goes and writes another movie. I hope her and Judd Apatow team up again, or mm-hmm. she maybe takes behind the camera so you see what she learned from Judd Apatow. But it's a bummer. And let me say something else that didn't help this movie at all. You talk about empowerment. Like, people are like, oh, well, whatever, fuck you, it's empowering. Yeah, but there was an empowering movie that came out a couple weeks ago called Blockers, which was very funny. Which was a funny movie with a good message, a different message, but nevertheless, a pretty fucking funny movie. And it still had a good, you know, a good message there. So, you know, those aren't two things that can't work together. Obviously, you can have an empowering movie and also at the time be pretty damn funny, because Blockers is easily the funniest movie of the year so far. So, well, maybe not. Death of Stalin might be funnier. Regardless, it's up there. Like, it's one of the funniest, as we said, in the last, you know, 8 years or so since 2010. So it's possible to be funny and have an empowering message. This only had one of them, and that was just – it just wasn't funny. It just straight up was not a funny movie. We did not laugh much. And actually, there was one moment that I got up and went to the bathroom, and on my way back into the movie – I made a little swing into Infinity War playing next door to see if I timed it up, to see if I timed it up with one of the moments from the Battle of Wakanda, which I won't spoil because there are some people who haven't seen this movie yet, but it didn't happen. I was at a different part, which I still liked and laughed at, but then I went back into the 10 a.m. showing and we finished it up. So I'm going to have some closing thoughts here. What? No, go ahead.
Do you remember when I ripped ass in the middle of it?
Oh, no.
It was so many lines where it was just like the sigh moments. You're like, oh, when it's like just very, very cringeworthy. And at a point, I just kept doing it and sinking lower and lower into my seat. And I had like my legs propped up in the air on like the two seats in front of me, because it's an empty theater, believe it or not. And then like you were sitting there and it gets quiet and just like it just let one loose. It happened. And I squeezed my butt cheeks together so it sounded louder too.
Oh my God. Oh. Well, we made a mockery of that.
What's the Rotten Tomatoes score for this, Jeff? Do you know off the top of your head?
So I'll get the Rotten Tomatoes score. Let me say the listener score. Listeners gave this one a 23 out of 100. Pretty low.
Pretty low.
That is fairly low. I Feel Pretty has 33% tomato meter, so critics, with a 5.1 out of 10. Listeners, 31%, 2 out of 5. That's pretty low. That's pretty low for a mainstream comedy like that. It just, it's not very funny, and there's funny people in it. And she just is capable of being in a funny movie and being an actress in a movie and conveying a good script. And so whether it was her fault for not stepping in and being like, hey, let's make this funnier, or, you know, the writers or studio for not allowing that to happen, I don't know. It just, it's not very funny. And I bet if you asked her truthfully, she'd say, yeah, you know what? Trainwreck's a funnier movie. It's a better movie. But, you know, that's just my two cents. Again, I hate ragging on it because they work very hard at this. I hope she does something else, does something better next time when she's, you know, the lead in a movie like this.
Mm-hmm.
So, guys, before I forget, I almost forgot. Where did she hit her head? I forgot, like, the fitness class or some sort of, like, weird bicycle thing. I can't, off the top of my head,
Was it, you know, the New York Sports Club?
No, I don't think it might have been, like, Peloton or something.
We'll get to that in a second.
I don't think it was that. I think it was we're going to get to that?
Yeah, we'll get to product placement in a second, because it's all the right. main thing we'll I really wanted to talk placement. About. Outside of if the movie was, you know, good or not. One last thing, Ken Jack, going back to the B plots, there's a lot of unresolved things in this movie, which I found very bizarre. One of them being the brother of, wow, what was his name in the movie?
Lily LeClaire. It's like Tom LeClaire.
The brother of Avery LeClaire, yeah, his name was
Grant LeClaire.
He was very interested in Amy Schumer's character, Renee. And when they were in Boston for a pitch meeting, he was trying to seduce her, tried to, you know, kiss her, and she kind of ran away because she had a boyfriend who went into the bathroom. And it was just kind of out of nowhere and unexplained why he was so interested in her. Like, maybe it was her confidence or something.
No, it was. It was the very never used ever in cinema line of, I think you love me for me and not for my mother. Been done in cinema, folks. So congrats to Amy for really digging that line out of nowhere.
Well, she didn't write it again. Let's get that back. So I don't, again, but like they didn't resolve it. She just whacked her head in the shower and they never mentioned it again.
They're also pitching to Target in Boston, despite the fact that Target's not headquartered in Boston and neither is the makeup company. So, I mean, maybe I can suspend disbelief on this one and think that they're at some makeup convention, but that didn't make much sense to me.
Yeah. I just, again, some of the B plots. It was Target. Yeah. And Target's obviously in Minnesota. The B plots were just weird. Like the whole family thing, Ken Jack, they didn't resolve any of that, really. It's just
none.
You thought he was going to be an antagonist. Right. Like you thought at some point he was going to like try to sabotage, but he just gave up. That was done, which. Yeah.
Emily Ratajkowski storyline was a little strange. Like she just kind of popped up at random moments. I didn't get that. The mom and Avery and the mother, Lily. Yeah. Who founded it, or the grandmother, they resolved the end very briefly. It was just, man, it was just weird. It's very disjointed. And let me just say this. This movie was paced terribly, terribly paced movie. It was under 2 hours, but it felt so long. It was very choppy. And I think some of the B storylines had to do with that. Last thing before we move on. There was a lot of fucking product placement in this movie. Starting obviously with SoulCycle. Half this movie, I feel like, takes place at SoulCycle, which is just, it is so in your face, they beat you over the head with it. If you've never seen a SoulCycle class, you know the ins and outs now. The locker rooms, the shoes, the trainers, the people that work there, the music, everything. I mean, it is in your face. I think I read somewhere they didn't pay for it. Not totally sure, though. So that was, the biggest product placement. And I'm actually going to say this right now, because we are technically the Academy for the Goskers. I'm going to give the nomination already for product placement of the year, SoulCycle, from I Feel Pretty up there for best product placement at the 2018 Goskers. And I will be shocked if it doesn't win. Actually, let me take that back. There's a Transformers movie coming out this year. Mm-hmm. So let's hold off. But SoulCycle's up there. Samsung, Cosmopolitan, Coors Light, Hidden Valley Ranch. Hidden Valley Ranch was like addressed by name in a restaurant. Like, I always carry Hidden Valley with me. It was like, they turned to the camera and went, Hidden Valley Ranch. Of course, I always bring it to my favorite restaurant. And then Target, obviously.
See, that's why I don't get the ranch, because I think Restaurant Ranch is the best ranch in the world. I like the soupy, I like the watery ranch dressing, and you can't get that unless you make it yourself at home. And Hidden Valley is okay for home purposes, but why would you pass up that sweet, soupy, watery restaurant ranch for some of that gunky
creamy home salad dressing application. Couldn't do it. Couldn't be me. Wouldn't find me doing that at a restaurant.
Even the Target product placement was weird because the whole point of it was like, oh no, let's sell this low cost, affordable brand at Target. Target understands normal people. And it's like, okay, like the dog with the spot on its eye, with the Target on its eye, may as well just fucking walked across the screen during that moment. It was very in your face.
Why would a prestigious makeup brand need to even pitch that opportunity to somebody like Target, who would be like, okay, we already do collaborations with everybody anyway. Like, we're not going to take this product in our stores. I don't know, man.
That's weird.
The SoulCycle was pretty funny because, like you said, Jeff, they walked you from point A to point Z in a SoulCycle class, from getting the shoes, the fact that they have shoes available at SoulCycle, to the fact that you get a locker and a locker room there, to what the class is like. I mean, they really lay it on the table. And I got to say, I mean a lot less because I do it all the time. So put one in the I mean jar. That's my filler of choice.
I don't know. It's SoulCycle too, in general. They had to have been paid for this, right? Because it was just like, the whole movie was basically about SoulCycle. They go just there twice in two different points.
Just I know, so they weren't paid. I know.
I've seen someone say they have. Yeah, I don't know.
They must have gotten like an anonymous super PAC donation or something.
Yeah.
All right, so I feel pretty. I gave it a 45. Triple Ones gave it a 35. Kenjack gave it a 31. I feel like an idiot now saying 45 after I just said it wasn't funny. All right, probably going to have to lower that. Listeners gave it a 23 out of 100. This is actually rated it today. I hadn't even thought about it for 2 weeks, so whatever. Anyway, it's all down there, way below a 50. Not buttered, officially not buttered. When we come back, we're building the ultimate movie actor Frankenstein's, or Frankenstein's monster, if you want to get technical here. We'll be right back on Lights, Camera, Podcast.
This spring, you loved seeing the Abbott family fear for their life in A Quiet Place. Well, Jim from The Office is bringing you the sequel to his celebrated horror movie, and this time, we're following a whole new family, and it just got a whole lot louder.
Okay, which one of you little assholes touched the thermostat?
Gilbert Gottfried stars as Neil Lucas, a man trying to protect his wife, played by Roseanne Barr.
What's that, honey? You saw a fruit bat?
And her brother, played by Wallace Shawn.
Aha, what is going on here? It is inconceivable.
And his husband, played by Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh my god, they're all dead. Everyone's dead. They're all dead. Before they were alive, but now they're not.
And making his film debut, Bill Belichick.
Oh, Bill, help. I'm dying over here.
See who survives possibly the best horror sequel ever made. Damn, that's a low bar. In A Quiet Place 2, summer 2019.
All right, we're back. Lights, Camera, Podcast. Jeff Lowe, Tro Ballins, Ken Jack. Movie Frankensteins. We're going to make up the ultimate actor. Start with the brain, then the hair, then the head, which includes face and neck, personality, torso, arms and hands, lower body, which includes groin, thighs, and legs, and lastly, feet. Which, the feet one, people were like, this is a fucking weird category. But if you get creative, it can be funny. So that's all I'm saying. Ken Jack, you'll have the first pick. I have the second pick. Listeners have the third pick. Trill, you have the last pick, but it's snakes, so it goes back and forth. First pick, brain. Ken Jack, who is the actor brain you are drafting?
I'm taking Nick Cage, and mostly because he's used to having his brain swapped, so the transition is going to be seamless here. So, and I think I'm willing to take anybody who's just so energetic about doing any movie he can get his hands on. So, you know, he's just an optimistic guy. I like him.
Okay. Brain, Nick Cage. My pick for the brain. I have to go. So I thought about Ashton Kutcher because he's invested in Spotify, I think Uber, Twitter. So he's got that Mark Cuban Shark Tank brain, though that might be problematic now. So let's just say Shark Tank brain. But I decided to go with somebody who's a doctor and who can think about other things on the fly, some comedy. He graduated from Duke and UNC. I'm going Ken Jeong. K Ken Jeong.
I think Ashton Kutcher has a doctor too, I believe, in like biology.
Yeah, maybe. I was looking more towards this, you know, Spotify, because it's a no free ads, but so I was thinking about the, you know, the investment side of things, but I'm going Ken Jeong for brain. Trebons, who's your it's the listeners.
It's the listeners. Sorry. I'll take the pick, though.
Listeners, they picked somebody who just came out with a new song and a new music video, hosted SNL last week. They're going Donald Glover, which I think is a good pick, because that's a brain that is an actor brain and a music brain. So, and he's a pretty smart guy. So Donald Glover is the listener's brain. Trill Bowens, last pick of the brain round. Who do you got?
All right. For the brain, I'm glad this one's still on the table. I have legendary French actor Gérard Depardieu.
Hey.
Who... I mean, goes without speaking. He is one of the greatest French actors of all time, and so, you know, I want that in an actor. He knows what roles to take.
Okay,
he understands the creative process behind French film.
Okay, so brain round. Ken Jeong took Nick Cage. I took Ken Jeong. Listeners took Donald Glover. Trebons took Gérard Depardieu. Trebons, hair. You're the first pick in the hair round.
I am taking legendary French actor Alain Delon, who was known as Europe's most prominent actor and one of their biggest sex symbols of the 1960s. He has a fabulous head of hair, maybe not now, but maybe more so in the 60s. Very attractive man. So I want to take his hair. And again, I mean, big fan of French cinema, so it's nice to really get this on the table.
Whenever I read off who was picked, I'm just going to have you say the names, because eventually the pronunciations are just going to – we already know I'm bad at that anyway. Listeners.
Did you realize – yeah, I can't believe you realized two picks in that the entire purpose of me doing this was to fuck with you, so you'd have to write the names down as we went and read them off. And you completely circumvented my entire intention for this shitty – gimmicky pick system I created.
Okay, I will give everyone an attempt, but you can correct me. Shit. Okay.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
Oh, no. All right, listeners, hair. What do they pick for hair? The listeners picked Chris Hemsworth. Great hair. A lot of the ones that had that, I assume, wanted the old Chris Hemsworth hair, the longer hair. They have Donald Glover's brain, Chris Hemsworth hair. My hair pick, I'm going with somebody who had specific hair in a movie that grossed over $1 billion this year. I'm thinking Michael B. Jordan, but I want his Black Panther hair. I want the Killmonger hair. I thought that was cool fucking hair. Some of the coolest hair in any movie of recent memory. So I'm going Michael B. Jordan's Black Panther hair. Ken Jack, round out the hair round. Who's your hair pick? A lot available.
I'm going Colin Farrell. So he has a very thick mane of hair. And I've seen in many different styles, and every single one of them I've liked. Yeah, I don't even know how he gets a fucking comb through it, because it is just luxurious as hell.
Okay, Colin Farrell or Colin Farrell, depending on where you're from. People who are not picked, Jared Leto. The listener's third pick was Bruce Willis, by the way. Just wanted that old bald dome. And then George Clooney, Zac Efron, a couple other ones. So in the hair round, Ken Jeff picked Colin Farrell. I picked Michael B. Jordan. Listeners picked Chris Hemsworth. And Trill Bowens picked Alain Delon. Was that close? Alain Delon?
You nailed it, man. I'm sure our French cinema buffs will appreciate your pronunciation of that.
All right. Let's get superficial. Face. The head. Ken Jeff, you have the first pick. There's a very obvious choice here.
No, there's not. I'm going Taika Waititi, because he is one of the most appealing human beings I've ever looked at in my entire life. I can honestly stare at his face forever. It just brings me like an infinite amount of joy. And part of that has to do with his personality, but part of that has to do with his face is just extremely pleasing to look at.
Okay. I like that. I do like Taika Waititi. He is also has fantastic style.
He does.
Phenomenal. Always dressed up very nicely. My pick, easy. I'm glad I have it. Ryan Gosling. No question. This was as easy as it gets. Also for hair, by the way, I don't think this matters, but hair, I almost did Robert Downey Jr. because with hair, you get the facial hair. But I didn't do it. So Ryan Gosling, just regular Ryan Gosling. Listeners, the Goss God was their first pick. Toby Jones was their third pick. Bradley Cooper was their fourth. Bradley Cooper was their fourth pick, but Number two was Idris Elba, very good looking man. So Idris Elba is the face, the head and neck for the listeners. Frankenstein. Oh boy. Trill Bowens, who's the French cinema pick, I assume.
Well, I mean, don't assume that yet. But for the head, I have Vincent Cassel, who is one of the few, along with Gerard Depardieu, is one of the few crossover French actors. He was in some American movies, like I think Ocean's 12 and Ocean's 13, and some other ones. He's got a very distinct face. He's very attractive, but he's got that Willem Dafoe look going on. So I want him, because he looks very French, I want him to represent what is shaping up to be an all-French actor Frankenstein creation.
Eastern Promises, great role for him.
He played the Night Fox, Francois Tallor, in Ocean 12 and 13. I just watched Ocean's 12 the other day. I don't know why. It's not good, but I did watch it. Okay, so head, which includes face and neck, Ken Jack, Taika Waititi. I had Ryan Gosling. Listeners had Idris Elba. Trill Bowens had Vincent Cassel. Trill Bowens. Personality. So while you have the brain already, you got to have a little, you know, humor, maybe create, I don't know, personality. I just thought humor the whole time, so you can probably guess my pick. Trill Bowens, who do you have?
I have Philippe Noirat. He's another legendary French actor. I think one of the things about him is he trained at the Centre Dramatique Les Ouest and also trained at the Théâtre National Populaire for years, and he met Monique Chalmette. And I think to in order to pull that off, you got to have a lot of good personality.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. Okay. listeners, personality. Some of the ones they had, Seth Rogen, Chris Pratt, Ryan Reynolds, their pick, Jeff Goldblum. Jeff Goldblum was their pick, a pretty good pick there. Ryan Reynolds was second. I'm up next, personality. I took Paul Rudd, easy pick. Sacha Baron Cohen was second for me, though. I only put two down. Paul Rudd is my personality for my Frankenstein. Ken Jack, who is your personality?
My personality pick is LeBron James. And the part of it is I just really want that king mindset and the ability to drag terrible castmates through rough shooting. And it makes you much more attractive as an actor to most directors. I just think he's able to do that and, you know, get some nice, he's in movies.
Train wreck.
That's where I got the credit from. And also, I guess a few other movies too, and cameos.
Smallfoot. He's going to be in Smallfoot.
He is. And he's just got the right personality for an actor. I think he can, you know, he can deal with setbacks. So.
Okay. So personality, Kendrick has LeBron James. I have Paul Rudd. The listeners have Jeff Goldblum, and Trill Bowens has Philip Noirat. I think I got that one.
I think you pronounced it better than I did.
Yeah.
I should probably brush up on my pronunciations as a buff of French cinema.
Yeah, probably. Torso, Ken Jack, you have the first pick. Torso includes, obviously, six-pack, chest, abs.
The whole shebang?
Yeah.
This is a really tough one. This is maybe the hardest one out of all of them. I did a lot of research for this, like maybe like an hour's worth of research looking into different men's bodies. So I think I'm going to go with Brad Pitt and Troy. He was just like really great shape. Really slim, great cut. You got that V cut on the ab that looked great. In phenomenal shape in that movie. And also underrated movie that could have been done by a different director and probably would have been amazing, but just wasn't.
All right. So Torso, Brad Pitt. I like that one. That one was not one of my picks, but it was one that I had on my initial list there. So my pick for Torso, I got to go with Zac Efron. That dude is, just six, like fake six pack. That's how it looks, especially him in Neighbors. So I have to go Zac Efron. Not from High School Musical, the one from Neighbors. Listeners, their pick for Torso. They also had Zac Efron up there. Jonah Hill was up there. But they're going to go with Chris Hemsworth. Chris Hemsworth. The second time they're going Chris Hemsworth, because they also have the hair. So they're going to get the Thor vibe with that one. Trill Bowens. Torso.
Oh, man, this is a good pick. I got to go with Jean-Louis Trintignant for my pick right here. You know, he's in his 80s, 87 right now, but in his heyday of French cinema, I mean, he was a heartthrob as much as they come. So, I mean, I don't think I ever saw him with his shirt off, a little more modest, but I'm gonna go with this pick still. I think it's probably good.
No genre, no yet. I'm so surprised.
Gonna need you to send me all these names typed out, please. Thank you.
No.
That's the
first one. I don't make you Google it.
I don't think I could Google that one. I don't. I spelled it.
Dude, I have no idea how to pronounce this. It's so complicated.
Okay, so Torso, Kenji, I pick Brad Pitt, specifically the one from Troy. I pick Zac Efron, specifically his role with Neighbors. Chris Hemsworth for the listeners. And Jean-Louis Trinigal for Trill Ballins. Torso. Trill, you have the first pick in the arms and hands category. Who are you picking?
With arms and hands, Kenjack kind of nailed that one. I have Jean Reno for this one, another crossover sensation. He's been in a few American films. I also believe he's in been a few films that have done well in America, despite not being American films, like Leon, The Professional. Ooh. Big fan. I think if you can play a hitman, you got good arms and hands, you know, just coordinated.
Mission Impossible. Heat.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. I hope you pull out Academy Award winner Jean Desjardins from The Artist soon. It's like one of the only French actors I know. He got roasted during a monologue at the Oscars for people who are never going to win an Oscar again. So, okay, Jean Reno for Trill Ballins for Arms and Hands. Listeners, Arms and Hands, they get their number one pick. I think this is probably the one that had the most votes. They get The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson for Arms and Hands. So this is going to be a pretty crazy looking person. My pick, Arms and Hands. I only had one pick. And I'm going to take his version from Justice League because I want the cool tattoos. I'm going Jason Momoa. Jason Momoa is my pick. Very similar to Taika Waititi in terms of really cool tattoos, by the way. Taika Waititi has a pretty big one in his leg. It's pretty awesome. Ken Jack, Arms and Hands, round it out. Last pick of this round.
I'm going Hrithik Roshan. He's a really jacked as hell Bollywood star who starred in Bang Bang, which is the Bollywood remake of Night and Day. He has really sick arms and an extra thumb, which is baller as hell. I'll show you a picture right now of one of my Bollywood DVDs. Look at him.
He has an extra thumb?
He has an extra thumb?
Extra thumb?
On one hand. It's like connected to his existing thumb.
What the fuck? Whoa. Okay.
That rules.
That's crazy. How do you say his name?
Sorry, I already said it once, and I have a no repeat policy.
Okay, so arms and hands, Ken Jack pick Hrithik Roshan. Oh God, I pick Jason Momoa. The listeners pick The Rock. Trill Ballins pick Jean Reno. Ken Jack, lower body, groin, and legs.
This is a very tough race for me. John Hamm is the obvious number one pick here. And that's Hogg. When I thought about it, do I really want him for the tremendous Hogg or do I want those thick legs? Because John Hamm kind of has skinny legs, which maybe makes the Hogg look bigger in comparison. So I'm not going to go with him. I'm going to go with somebody who has a mystery Hogg size, but a well-known juicy fat cheeks. So I'm going Nathan Fillion as a fat ass. If you've ever seen a photo of that. I'll send you guys a picture over if you haven't seen it before. And it was a tough race between him and Christopher Maloney, but in the end, it's just he has juicy ass cheeks.
That's pretty good. He was, wait a second, wasn't he in?
He's in Firefly.
He was in Guardians of the Galaxy, wasn't he? Two cameos. Yeah, he was. He was a voice cameo in Guardians, and then. Deleted scene from Guardians. He was going to play Wonder Man or Simon Williams. Yeah, wait a second. Yeah, that makes sense. What's his tie to James Gunn? Am I missing something here?
James Gunn involved in Firefly at all?
No, Joss Whedon was, though. That's problematic. Joss Whedon, the director of The Avengers and Ultron. I don't know. Interesting. Okay. So Nathan Fillion with, as you said, big cheeks. I pick lower body. I was thinking about this. We're picking an actor here. I don't think many actors get cast because of, you know, their lower body, unless they're good dancers. I'm going Alfonso Ribeiro, Dancing with the Stars winner, the Carlton. I mean, he's a hell of a dancer, one of the best dancers in Hollywood. Also the host of Unwrapped 2.0 on the Cooking Channel. used to be hosted by Mark Summers from Double Dare. So I'm going Alfonso Ribeiro. I need a good dancer. He's got to be talented. So that's who my pick is. Listeners, lower body. Ken Jack, you helped them get their first pick. They went with the hog itself, John Hamm. John Hamm was their first pick. Their second pick was Kevin Hart. Their third pick was Kevin James.
Oh. Two
just different picks there. So John Hamm for the listeners, lower body. Trebon's last pick of the lower body round. Who is your, I assume, French pick here?
Whoa, come on now. My pick is legendary French comedian Pierre Richard. Pierre Richard, because everybody knows that funny guys are packing giant hogs.
Well-known fact.
Mm-hmm. Very well-known. Okay, so Ken Jack picked Nathan Fillion. I picked Alfonso Ribeiro. Listeners picked John Hamm. Trebon's picked Pierre Richard for the lower body, groin, and legs. Feet.
I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't know who any of these actors are, except for Gerard Depardieu. I was lying about being really into French cinema. I was just doing a bit. I know who Vincent Cassel is, so I just got to come clean because I feel really dishonest.
You know Jean Reno?
Oh, I know who Jean Reno is. For feet, I am picking legendary French actor Jean Jabin, who was an actor and sometimes singer. And I don't know why I picked his feet other than I just IMDb'd the top 10 French actors of all time and picked from that list.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Jean Gavin. Listeners, Gavin. Feet. They went with Shaq. The listeners went with Shaq. So just big-ass feet. Huge feet.
Why would you want big-ass feet on a disproportionate frame, though? I mean, that seems like a horrible idea. Yeah, why don't you just pick Ronald McDonald?
Yeah, I was about to say.
That's a decent size frame. Chris Hemsworth is tall. The Rock's arms. John Hamm's tall.
I'm the guy who thinks the actor who plays Ronald McDonald has the size feet. He's the only guy who can play the role.
My pick for feet. My feet pick here, similar to the listeners. And also Ken Jack, two LeBron James picks. I pick LeBron James because I think the shoes come with the feet. And, you know, he's really in the game. The LeBron watch. I'll get some good kicks here for all my roles. So LeBron James, you have the last pick. What?
LeBron has big feet too, though, right?
Yeah, not Shaq, though. Shaq's are like fucking Teslas. Or what are the small cars? I don't know. Smart cars.
Yeah,
Mini Coopers,
car guys. Actually, you guys do kind of like cars. I don't. I don't care.
Jeep
cars.
Rubicon guy.
Trill likes cars.
I like cars.
Trill likes Jeep. Yeah. You're a big Jeep guy.
I'm not a Jeep guy. I'd rather just get a Toyota.
So if you could pick between a Toyota, like an old Toyota and a new Jeep, what would you pick?
I'd pick the new Jeep. If it was just someone was giving me a car.
Yeah, it's like Schrodinger's car. I get it. So anyway, my feet pick is Ashton. My feet pick is Ashton Kutcher. And I picked Ashton Kutcher because I found out while Googling actors' feet, which is something that will stay in my search history for a long time, that Ashton Kutcher has webbed feet, which is kind of fucking gross. And so I'm going to pick him. It's kind of cool. Maybe you get to play Aquaman at one point.
Does Aquaman have webbed feet?
I mean, I guess. I don't know. Ask Adrian Green.
Can you imagine Batman writing an email to Aquaman like, Aquaman, send feet pics.
Send feet.
Are they webbed?
I can PayPal you. I'll Venmo you $15 if you pose with your feet in yoga pants.
Oh, man. All right, let's recap. Ken Jack, this is your Frankenstein actor. Brain, Nick Cage. Hair, Colin Farrell. Head, Taika Waititi. Personality, LeBron James. Torso, Brad Pitt. Arms and hands, Hrithik Roshan. lower body, Nathan Fillion. Feet, Ashton Kutcher. Mind, brain, Ken Jeong. Hair, Michael B. Jordan. Head, Ryan Gosling. Personality, Paul Rudd. Torso, Zac Efron. I got a short guy here. Arms and hands, Jason Momoa. Lower body, Alfonso Ribeiro. Feet, LeBron James. Listeners, Donald Glover for brain. Hair, Chris Hemsworth. Head, Idris Elba. Personality, Jeff Goldblum. Torso, Chris Hemsworth. Arms and hands, The Rock. Lower body, John Hamm. Feet, Shaq. That is a large human being. Trobolins, fuck this. Brain, Gerard Depardieu. Hair, Alain Delon. Head, Vincent Cassel. Personality, Philip Noirat. Torso, Jean-Louis Trinigal. Arms and hands. Jean-Louis Trinigal. Arms and hands, Jean Renault. Lower body, Pierre Richard. And feet, Jean Gabin.
Anybody knows French cinema knows that that's a great Frankenstein of an actor right there.
Oh, man. All right. That's that. Okay. Yeah, no, that's that. That was fun. That was interesting. That was something different. We like that. You can post on our Reddit segment ideas. We got some coming up. We're going to do next week. First of all, you got to see Truth or Dare. It might already be online. I don't even mean illegally. Like, it may be able like to on demand. We're watching, Blumhouse's Truth or Dare next week.
Oh,
very excited. Some say the worst movie of the year so far. We're going to review that. And we're also going to do a game where we draft the ultimate comedy team. So like the comedy movie dream team. We haven't decided if we're going to do actors or if we're going to do characters, like the funniest character. Maybe that's it. Maybe we'll do like the Avengers comedy team. What do we think? Is that better? Or do we do actors like comedy Avengers?
I'm open for whatever. Let's let the listeners decide.
All right. We'll let them decide. So next week, very special episode. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a blast. More to come on what's going on the next few weeks. We're also going to do another one for Star Wars, by the way. We're going to do draft the worst Star Wars movie possible, the worst spinoff for when we review Solo. So that's going to come in a few weeks. So you'll get the draft, you know, the Jar Jar spinoff or whatever. But we'll have fun with that one. That's really it. We'll be back on Sunday this week. Sorry about the delay. It was on Monday, but hope you enjoyed the pod. We'll be back on Sunday. Try to figure some more stuff out. Probably do some scenarios and questions like we have been doing. But otherwise, Trill, Ken Jack, what else you got? Anything else?
I got nothing. Excited for Truth or Dare.
You know what? I'm kind of excited about Truth or Dare just because I like those smiley faces that are in the trailer.
Oh,
isn't that like the most cliche, corniest horror movie thing to do? Just make a creepy smiley face, clown face. It seems like they're trying to do something. I'll put one in the jar, iconic, and they're failing miserably at it. But I am excited that if there are more deaths that are kind of Final Destination-ish, then that might be somewhat interesting to watch. But it is in no way resembling a good movie.
It's PG-13, so...
There's a dude slipping on a pool ball in the trailer. How could this be PG-13? I think I've been lied to.
Oh, man.
It's like they've created this movie for 15-year-olds to get into.
Why is Speed Racer trending on Twitter? 10 years ago today, Speed Racer made sweet, sweet. This is somebody's tweet. Oh, I gotta do this. 10 years ago today, Speed Racer made sweet, sweet love to my eyes. This, in many ways, is my favorite film of the aughts. The Wachowski sisters made a triumphant, beautiful, emotional family film, and my love for it has only grown over the decade. Bring it on 4K Blu-ray. Thoughts, Trill?
I think it would look good on 4K Blu-ray. It was
very... You said it's one of the worst movies ever seen.
I'm trying to be positive. It is not my favorite movie. It might be one of the worst movies I've ever seen. I also can understand why some people like it. I just don't think that particular style of movie that was like intentionally, I don't know, it's like intentionally corny in some aspects was my cup of tea. Maybe I could rewatch it now. You know what? I'll try to do that sometime in the next 2 years. I'll try to rewatch Speed Racer, see if I like it more now that I've matured a little bit. But yeah, I put it in my worst list. Probably doesn't deserve to be there because we did it at the start of the podcast. And I'm pretty sure since being on this podcast and watching more movies, I've seen way worse movies now that I could put on that list.
Yeah, that's very true. Very good point.
What's the name of the Speed Racer car? The Mach something?
The Mach 5, I think.
Would you want the Mach 5 if Elon Musk made it and also didn't fuck it?
Yeah, why not? I mean, does it come with a catch? Like, do I have to like hang out with Elon
like
Musk?
A Tesla battery Mach 5.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't look like a nerd driving in that at all.
more so. Oh, I just want that matte black Rubicon, man. 2016
is a very specific late model to want. Yeah,
it's just affordable enough.
We got a 2015 matte black Rubicon in stock, and you're like, no, they changed the head gaskets in the 2016 version.
Call my mom, like, Mom, I failed again. Couldn't find it.
Yeah, I think Speed Racer might be worth consideration. And to be fair, it was a very cool looking movie when it came out. It had John Goodman in it, didn't it? Wasn't he Papa Racer? Pop Racer?
It's a cult classic. People fucking love it now. People defend it very hardcore.
See, and that's why I'm very hesitant to say anything bad about Speed Racer, because they have people who will come after you for it.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. Very, very true. All right. Well, you know what? Hold on. Let me do one more thing. Let me just read off the future movies we're going to see here. I think we owe it to everybody. By May 9th, you got to see I Feel Pretty. So that's right now. May 16th, Truth or Dare. May 23rd, Deadpool 2. May 30th, Solo, A Star Wars Story. June 6th, a little up in the air here, Action Point and or Life of the Party. Action Point's based off a real water park, by the way, in New Jersey.
Oh.
It's worth a watch on YouTube. There's some small documentaries on it. Johnny Knoxville's in that. June 13th, Ocean's 8. That'll be a fun segment. We're going to do Draft Your Own Heist Team. You know I'm pumped about that shit. Incredibles 2, June 20th. And then June 27th, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. And then we'll head on in to July and beyond. For Trill Ballins and Ken Jack, I'm Jeff Lowe. Hope you enjoyed the post-credit scene recap earlier in the episode. We have a lot more coming up. We will talk to you on Sunday. Truth or dare. Just tell me what you want from me. And you're telling me that you're too shy, but I see it in your eyes. So tell me what you want from me. Tell me what you want from me. Take me to the bridge.